Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
The church in Smyrna is a fascinating church to study because it's commended for holding fast to Christ's name in a time of great persecution for the truth. And they didn't waver. And so we consider this church that really what it costs us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we suffering for? What is our goal? Remember what Jesus said in the Gospels, "Woe to you if all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." You know, so it's our message. Our message is a strong message. We do it in love. We do it because we care. But the world is in sin. The kingdoms of this world are not the answer. Remember, Smyrna sat there in Rome. Everyone's under the wrath of God because of sin. And unless people repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they go to this awful place of torment called hell that Jesus spoke a whole lot about. So this is a serious message. It's a serious message that Jesus is the only way of escape, and you can't have two masters. You can't love Christ and bow down and burn incense to Caesar as Lord. I mean, you can't serve God and mammon. And the church in Smyrna is really suffering for these things. None of Christ's standards were popular with that culture. None of Christ's standards are with our culture. You know, including the U.S. Think about it. We promote honesty in business and marriage between a man and a woman for life, contentment with what you have, self-control, self-sacrificial living. And do you see any of these values in the world? Of course not. The Lord is showing us here through this church that when we maintain the ways of Christ and we follow Christ, expect to suffer in some form. And that has been the problem here, that we avoid that at all costs. And I said yesterday, this is why the church is largely ineffective in the U.S. today. I don't want persecution, but I know that as a follower of Christ, as a disciple of him, I'm not greater than him. If Christ suffered for the truth, shouldn't we expect to? If he was hated for exposing sin, shouldn't we? If he was hated for boldness, don't you think your church should be? That just goes with the territory. And we've wanted to avoid this at all costs. And my question is, what good is a church that won't stand on the truth because it's the truth by which men are saved? So the point is, if Smyrna were here today, what kind of church would it look like? I don't think it'd be a very popular church. I don't think it'd be the church that has the great rock band down the street. I don't think it'd be the church that's packed out with people. I think it's a church that would be heavily criticized as being what? Too tight, too legalistic, too strict, whatever, because they're standing on the truth. And they're suffering because they were uncompromising in the truth. And they were doing it in love, which is really an amazing balance to keep, isn't it? The church in the U.S. has no concept of this, you know, And the shocking thing is Smyrna was strong to stand by grace. And the Lord is saying to them, don't fear. You know, what a strange irony today that even though we face no persecution here, yet we're still afraid to speak against truth and stand against idolatry. That's the great challenge, that we could avoid a lot of suffering and poverty and slander of people saying things against us just if we remain silent, right? And we take a non-dogmatic stance on things. But I say emphatically, that is not what we signed up for. And what is the Lord calling us to today? Don't fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. So this is where the test comes alive. Faith is seen in our willingness to trust the Lord and do what is right, even when behind it, we fear what the consequences might be. Faith embraces the word, and the fruit of trust in Christ our Lord means that whatever the consequences that follow from our willingness to be an uncompromising church, well, those things belong to Him. Our concern is to do what is right and stand on the truth of the gospel. And this is what Christians had to learn all throughout their lives. So we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" So this is what he's calling Smyrna to remember, and whatever comes their way, act on the principle, honor the word, stand for the truth, flee idolatry, and in doing it, don't fear. The one whom you serve has the authority to kill not only the body, but he has the authority to kill the body and soul in hell. He holds the keys of death and Hades, the Lord Jesus Christ. He controls the human destiny of people. And so Christ ends this by saying three things to deeply encourage this church in continuing to stand, even though the persecution is about to come. The first encouragement comes right at the beginning in verse 8. "These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life." Wow. Jesus says, "I'm the first and the last." We wonder what must have went through their minds. I'm convinced that they were thinking a lot of Isaiah. This is Isaiah 44. "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me, since I appoint the ancient people and things that are coming and shall come. Let them show these to them. Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. Those who make an image, all of them are useless, and their precious things shall not profit. They are their own witnesses. They neither see nor know, that they may be ashamed." The Lord is saying, "I've appointed everything already that's going to come to pass. Why would you fight against it, trying to avoid it with compromise? It's already determined what will happen to you. And I know how it will happen and what will happen. Don't fear. You are my witnesses, says the Lord. To your churches today, do what you're called to do. Condemn idolatry. Tell the people it's all useless. You are my witnesses to the truth of the gospel. To me, says Jesus, the one who died, not even death could harm me. I am alive forevermore." Remember that. And then Christ goes on to say what? "Be faithful unto death. Be willing to die for me. That's what you signed up for when you professed faith in me," says Jesus. "That's what you promised to me. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." Whoa, what an amazing verse. Jesus is saying, if you overcome, you're not going to be touched. How do you overcome? John already told us that the victory that has overcome the world is our faith, which is a gift from God. Trusting Christ, not fearing. You know what's interesting? Jesus says, some of you will be tested 10 days. A great test was coming. And he's reminding this church that as they're tested, those who belong to him, those who are protected by him, nothing the wicked do to them can ultimately harm them. You read something like Fox's Book of Martyrs, where these Christians were tortured for the faith. You know, I think, how in the world could they ever face that? They were given a lot of grace to the Lord, by the Lord. But ultimately, those things that happened to them in a brief moment did not harm them. They were taken immediately to glory. Jesus says that here. The second death cannot touch you. You know what the second death is, dear listener? Revelation 20 tells us the second death is the lake of fire or hell. What if we're martyred? We're totally and completely shielded from going to the lake of fire because Jesus died, because Jesus came to life, and my faith rests in him. And he makes that promise today. Be faithful unto death. The hellfire cannot touch you as a Christian. What an encouragement, isn't it? And then he says something really beautiful, and I will give you the crown of life. You have any idea what that meant to them in Smyrna? On almost any coin, if you were to go search on the internet, look at the coins of Smyrna, was a crown or a wreath of victory. Smyrna was notorious for crowning the most loyal, faithful, powerful citizens. Christ is saying, I've got a crown for you. When you die, I'm going to crown you with life. I need to hear that. The fact is, we all need to repent for not taking seriously enough this call as Christians to count the cost. And we need to look at our Savior. Look at Christ who shed his blood and today encourages us, no matter what's coming for us, there's always something, some test, some trial, maybe a persecution in the future. The Lord is saying that he's with us. Death cannot touch us. I'm pretty sure that in Smyrna, you know, after this, they wanted to go to the table and commune with the Lord. You know, Polycarp, their pastor, I want to briefly rehearse this again and close with this today. Polycarp, their pastor, had to flee outside the city to hide from the Romans who wanted to kill him. When they tracked him down, he didn't run, but he fed them. The officer who brought him back to the city pleaded with him, "What harm can it do? Just make the sacrifice to the emperor." Polycarp could not. They bring him into the amphitheater, and they say, "Swear by the genius of Caesar, and we will release you. Revile Christ." You know what Polycarp said? When Polycarp was an old man, a flurry of persecution broke out in Smyrna. 14 Christians were seized and dragged to the public arena where they were fed to wild beasts. All but one died gloriously, even slapping the beast who was too lazy to rise up against him and kill him. The crowd began to shout for Polycarp. When they brought Polycarp in, they said to him, "Swear by the fortune of Caesar, repent, declare death to the atheists." This is what Polycarp said. "I have served him for 86 years, and he's never done me any wrong. Why then should I blaspheme against my king and my savior? If you do not repent, I shall have you burned at the stake, Polycarp. You threaten me with fire that burns for an hour and then dies down. But do you know the eternal fire of the justice that is to come and devour the ungodly? Come, delay, do what you want with me." What a moment. As the wood was put there and the fire was lit by the Jews of Smyrna, he cried out, "O Lord, Almighty God, the Father of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, whom we have come to know you, I thank you for counting me worthy this day and hour of sharing the cup of Christ among your martyrs." When the church went back, how much meaning did that cup have? Christ had taken it on for them, the full cup of the Father's wrath, so that as a church they could share in those sufferings and declare and proclaim Christ's death until he comes. What a motivation to go out with boldness to this sad world and declare the only hope God has given to fallen sinners, the hope of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the glory, of knowing that Jesus Christ is the true Lord and King over all, and all who believe in him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That, dear listener, is a message to stand on. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days are the worship service times. Love to have you join us. LindenURC.org is the website. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel continue to richly bless you.